Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Chris. Chris, we hope that you could just take a nap. We know you're tired. Just relax. Yeah, thanks for being just good citizens of poetry. It's really important. And I can't believe that you are keeping this going, which is amazing. And to Jimmy. So I think I'm going to only read like four poems. And the first poem is, so I lived in Squirrel Hill for a long time in an apartment, and my landlord was Mr. Lazar, who I just loved dearly. And so this poem is called, "Mr. Lazar, I Want to Put Your Name in a Poem." Landlord to my second floor home, my dead father heart, lease made of air, signed with a handshake. You were nothing but honest. Thanks for allowing me the cat I didn't know I needed to start the holy walk towards unselfish love. For the garden space, tomatoes, sticky hard candies, Jerry Springer synopses. Was my explanation of lesbianism clear? Moths fluttered from your face when you opened the door, fluttered up the vents from your closet to mine, feasted on sweaters. Mice, too. They stole the cat's food. How could I be mad? You were a menagerie of yes. Yes to rodents. Yes to the nighttime sunglassed neighbor who never said hello. Yes to Mr. Third Floor's Oxycontin addiction, to this anti-Semite in the efficiency next to yours. He killed his girlfriend, and the reporters came. Newspaper photo. You in a baseball cap, not yarmulke. I trust everyone, Elias Lazar said, until I don't. Your only weapons, hammer and anvil, to pound iron into new railings, to hold up the world's failing knees. Thanks for your falls in the yard, my chance to prove I wouldn't look away from frailty, pain. I climbed out my bedroom window to help you clean gutters, backed your 84 Oldsmobile off the porch when you mistook the gas pedal for brake. A yes mistake. While sharing sugary cucumber salad, I listened to your stories of the pogrom. You walking hundreds of miles, eating carrot tops in strangers' barns, but still no hate. A man who was starved young, you said, lives long. You were right. Your love for your son's dog pulled you across the country, closer to the sun. Pittsburgh ice, too much for the screws in your knees, your years. I was already gone with your blessing and wish for a baby boy and a backyard goat. Yesterday, sun too strong for February, I made a pilgrimage to the home we shared. It has a new front door. A young guy smoked a cigarette in the drive while his dog lifted a leg to the fence. Both looked up. I wish I still had the key. Thank you. So this is sonnet-ish. I'm going to read this for my friend Ryan, who couldn't bring his dog today. So it's titled with a quote from Guns and Ammo magazine. What does the future hold for semi-auto handgun hunting? I held a gun once. It shot pellets. And I did it because everyone else was shooting the gun. And I did it because a pacifist friend took a gun shooting class to challenge her anti-gun comfort, to gun her high compassion even higher, to include people who love guns, who fire automatic guns at outlines of men. I bought nail polish that reminds me of a gun, dead black, cold silver. I'm drawn to the unnatural, so I should be drawn to guns. A friend's father believes in conspiracy theories and has a machine shop that makes parts for guns. We've had dinners together where he drinks gun dark beers and talks hockey, not guns. This friend believes in good food and facts and winces when he talks about his dad and his guns. He wishes the gun parts were for muskets, a gun so slow you could get bored out of killing, a gun so wild you might think about the kids tossing a ball outside instead of refiring your gun. The guns are Henry's, the same name as a baby a different friend struggled to birth last week, gunning through contractions. But Henry wouldn't budge, so the doctors opened her with knives, not guns. She'd wanted a natural birth. A gun enthusiast wrote an article for Guns and Ammo about guns. It started and ended with questions about high-performance cartridges, the future, and handguns. Thank you, thank you. So for a very long time, I taught English to refugees and immigrants. And hard thing to write about. And I think I've really only written one other poem besides this one that's new that I'm going to try out for you. This is a little longer poem, but it comes out of that experience. So it's called, How Do I Tell This Story? I'll start with a Thursday morning, a classroom of refugees practicing future tense. I am going to. She will. And the door opens. No, I'll start with the wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, Burma, Sudan. Freedom's doors closed to Hazaras, to Christians, to Buddhists, to peace. He will go to church this weekend. I am going to go to church this weekend. Or I'll start with the doors locking women inside men's ravenous rules, or inside tight homes because children can be ripped from arms in streets of bombs, gunshots, stones. I'll start with ethnic cleansing in Bhutan, tribal warfare in Burundi, Rwanda, DRC. I could start with the dirty classroom windows, sun struggling to join our warmth on winter's coldest day. I will wash clothes this weekend. She is going to wash clothes this weekend. No, I'll start with the teacher, me, showing students pictures of ICE officers, teaching them don't open the door, teaching them show me a warrant. He will stay home this weekend. She is going to stay home this weekend. No, I'll start with the woman who, as a child, hid beneath her dead mother until the soldiers went away. I'll start with the scar dissecting one student's cheek, the bullet-blasted voice of a man squeaking, I will have fun this weekend. He is going to have fun this weekend. I'll start with, we were making sentence chains, standing in small circles, finding a way to make learning fun. I will have a party this weekend. She is going to have a party this weekend. I am going to study for my driver's license. He will study for his driver's license. No. I'll start with the American guy waking up for another day of window washing work, drinking coffee, checking his phone, putting on clean clothes, the camouflage t-shirt, the khaki Carhartts, the tightly laced steel-toed boots. He will work today. He is going to work today. I could start with the Somali woman's brown arm, the bleeding blue tattoo of her name, her birth date, in case the bloated boat capsizes, in case her body floats to shore. No, I'll start with my future, the complaint I will send. Our students suffer from trauma. Our class time must have routine. There can be no interruptions, no surprises. Or I'll start with the impossibility of crossing the threshold into another's experience. I'll start with the group of women next to the dirty window, their party of native tongues, the kaleidoscope of their dresses, laughter, a fragrant stew, an armchair. I am going to relax this weekend. She will relax this weekend. I'll start with our classroom's closed door, its hand-crocheted blessing, the word welcome in a flurry of languages. The window man not knocking. I'll start with his stiff posture, those sand and jungle colors, his squeegee cradled exactly like a rifle. I'll start with the gasps, muffled screams, the headscarves pulled over faces, the women diving to the ground. I'll start with the crying, all the crying. I'll start with, it's okay, it's okay. The lie I told will keep telling, am going to keep telling. You're safe here. I promise you're safe. Thank you. And I'm going to end on a poem that maybe is a love poem. I'm not sure. It's called Broken. I once thought about ending my marriage because my husband didn't wash the cat's plate before giving her new food. It happened when he thought I wasn't looking. Turds of dried cat goo glued to the plate she licked the new pink pate from, hidden in the furnace room, away from the other greedy cat. What did this not action make him? Not the fastidious man I believed he was, not the discriminating gatherer of facts, calmer of emotions, not the ethical debater, finder of a flat middle ground. Maybe not the honest guy who refused to close his online dating app after we'd met, until he'd contacted the women he'd winked at to say he'd found someone else. Did he really tell them? He never told me he washed the plate, and we can only know so much about another soul, but that haunted plate broke me. The life I thought I'd understood, the person I thought I was in pieces, because we become who and what we love. At first, my brain was all, what year is this? Who's the president? Which quickly evolved into, what could I get away with? Could I leave him with our kid for months at a time? talk sex positions with the old flame I met once a year for drinks, come home wet? Could I buy $500 boots? You know, dear reader, I stayed married. But you don't know, I stayed silent many years and counting, twitching with worry, though the cat didn't seem to care. Thank you so much for listening.